Darrell Evans, and he is a he is the church and discipleship and leadership multiplication strategist for the International Baptist Convention. Darrell was a pastor for many years within the IBC, planted a church down in Ramstein, and his former Air Force sergeant, and then came out and planted and pastored a church. And he's a native of Texas, but being from Idaho, I will not hold that against him. But there's a young lady from Oklahoma here. I'm not quite sure if she'll be able to do that, but the grace of God will flow, I'm sure. And so we want to thank you, Darrell, for coming and sharing the word with us today. And I'm sure you all will appreciate hearing from Darrell.
All right. Well, it's great to be with you this morning. Yeah, I was a little confused. I'd heard about this church facility being a former retreat a long time ago, and I walked into this area, and I'm like, it looks like a retreat. It looks like a place of rest and relaxation. But then there's so many people running around doing all these activities that Jeff was talking about and that you were part of. I'm like, well, that doesn't make sense. I thought it was retreat, rest. But a lot of work going on, so praise the Lord. It's so good for me to be here with you. For me, it's such a blessing. I've had a chance the last couple of days to get to know several of you on a one-on-one basis, and it's just always a treat for me to get to meet brothers and sisters from literally, physically, all over the world, all over the world. When I talk to people in some places of the world that are a little more similar to each other, a little more homogenous, they don't understand a church like IBC Dusseldorf. Maybe you don't understand a church like, I don't know. You know, they don't understand. I talk about, you know, English language international churches. And they look at me, huh? You know, English language international churches all over the world. And they just don't get it. And they say, well, why would you have a church like that? And I kind of bait them. I want them to ask that question. I'm like, that's a great question. Why have an English language international church? And I said, well, that's a great question. I have two great answers for you that go together. First of all, there's this thing in the Bible that many of us have come to call the Great Commission. And we won't turn there for the sake of time this morning. This isn't even the part of the sermon. It's just introductory comments. But there's this thing in the Bible that we find at the end of Matthew, for example, the Gospel of Matthew, that says, we call it the Great Commission. And it says, go and make disciples of a few people. No, go and make disciples of all nations. Go and make disciples of all nations. And that is the Great Commission, as we call it. And there is no greater purpose in life. There is no greater thing that we could go after than that Great Commission. Secondly, we have a great opportunity. Many of us, you in particular, have a great opportunity. There's another passage of Scripture, a simple little sentence, and I won't go there for the sake of time this morning. But we find in the Acts, in the book of Acts, chapter 2, verse 5, there's a verse that there's no theology coming out of this verse. There's no great doctrine. There's no great instruction for us to obey. It's just a verse that almost just says something like, you know, well, it was about 72 degrees today, and it was partly cloudy, and there were some people, you know, having a good time. It's just a description. But this sentence says this, and it's profound, really. The sentence says, in that day, there in Jerusalem, there were God-fearing Jews from every nation under heaven. What? That many, 2,000 years ago, in one city named Jerusalem, there were God-fearing people from every nation under heaven, from every nation on the planet. So this thing that we call globalization, this thing that you're a part of, the expat community, the international scene, it is not a new thing at all. It's not 21st century. It is first century, and it's been going on. I think Adam and Eve are the first expats. Huh? They packed up and went somewhere else. So they were the first to move about. So why have churches like this? Great question. Great answer. We have a great commission to go and make disciples of all nations. And we have, in many cities like Dusseldorf and cities around the planet, we have a great opportunity where all the nations from around the world are coming together, at least for a time, as they move about for many reasons in this city. So we have a great commission and a great opportunity as well. I myself am a product of that great commission and that great opportunity. I won't tell you exactly how long ago, but a lot of years ago when I was in my early 20s, I found myself for the first time living outside my passport country. I was living in a country called England, and I came to realize through different circumstances and people involved in my life, I came to realize that one, I was far from God, and two, I was far from home. Well, the first thing I realized was I was far from home. Like, this is not Texas. this is not the United States. I mean, a lot of the words are the same, but this language is not the same. I am far, far from home. And then I began to realize I was far, far from God. And there happened to be a small church, much, much smaller than Dusseldorf, a small church of internationals speaking English together, worshiping in a little house in a little town called Sheffield, England. And that's where God got my attention. And the rest of the story, he saved my life. This morning, I want us to look, this is the scripture, and this is the sermon. I would like us to look at Luke chapter 10. So if you have your Bible, and I hope you do, turn to it, however you do that, in your old-fashioned Bible or in your phone Bible app, either way works. So turn with me to the Gospel of Luke, chapter 10. And just for a little bit of context, I mentioned the Great Commission already, but let me kind of put some things real quickly in a kind of a chronological context. So just as we sang in the very first song that we sang today, Jesus left heaven and came to earth. All right, so that happened first. And Jesus grew up and he started his earthly ministry. Then that happened. Jesus began to call his disciples. And that happened. And he told his disciples that he called, he said, I will make you fishers of men, saying, I will send you out. So Jesus came, Jesus began to minister, he began to make disciples himself, and then he began to send them out. And the first group we read about in the scripture was he sent out the 12 apostles. And they went out in the power of Jesus Christ, and they went out to make disciples, and they came back with their great reports. Then we come to what we're going to look at today. Jesus sends out the 72. Sometimes we say 70, 72. He sends out this group of disciples. Not apostles, okay, but just regular Christians like you and I. So that happens next. And then after he sends out the 72, chronologically speaking, then comes this thing we call the Great Commission, where Jesus says in his last instruction, his last command, before he would ascend back to the Father in heaven, he says, now go and make disciples of all nations. So he said that to his apostles, he said that to the 72, and in his Great Commission, he said that to you and me, and everyone that would ever be a follower of Jesus Christ. We have been sent. And so that's the chronological context. Let's look at this one particular narrative here in Luke chapter 10. And this is not telling us exactly what to do, but here's an example of Jesus' instruction to believers just like you and I. And so I'm just the kind of guy that says, okay, well, Jesus tells them to do it, and he says to do it this way. It may not be the only way, but it's the way Jesus instructed, so I think we should give that a try. We should try and do it the way Jesus told us. So first of all, let's look at the first couple of verses. In Luke chapter 10, the very first few verses. My translation says this: after the Lord appointed 72 others and sent them out two by two ahead of him to every town and place where he was about to go. And he told them, the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field. Go, I am sending you out like lambs among wolves. Do not take a purse or a bag or sandals, and do not greet anyone on the road. So here's some preliminary instruction and information that Jesus gives them. Before they would leave his presence, before they would walk out of that room or off the side of this hill, wherever they might have been, before they took off and went, Jesus says, here's some instruction and things you need to know. He says, first of all, I am sending you. And what do we get from that? We are sent people. If we are followers of Jesus, then we are sent of Jesus as well. Again, in the very first song that we sang this morning, it spoke of Jesus leaving the glory of heaven and coming into this world to save us from our sins. Jesus was the first one sent. He was sent by the Father. And then he would send others, and then he would send us. But we are sent people. That is gospel. That is truth. Now, whether we are going, that's a different story. But we are, in fact, sent by God to go and make disciples. He sends us out two by two. I think that's important. I don't want to do things alone. I don't think God intended us to do anything alone. I think he intended for us always to work in community. I mean, God is community. Father, Son, Holy Spirit. It's always been a family business. It's always been a team work or approach. So God sends us out, and he sends us out together. He sends us out ahead of him, the scripture says. Literally means to go before his face. And we know this, that God is with us, he is in us, he is around us, he goes before us, he follows after us, and he is there all the time. Sometimes we get scared, and we're fearful, and we feel alone. But that's just a feeling. That's not reality. The reality is that Jesus, his spirit, is with us at all times. So he says, you are sent, I am sending you out two by two to every town and place where I will go. He sent them out ahead of them to every single town and place. I won't try to say all the German names of the different areas or towns around here, but you can think of it. To every place means, yes, that town, this part of town, that side of town, the city next door, that city, to the very ends of the earth, to every town and every place is where we've been sent. In verse 2, he says, the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. So he said, ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field. So the harvest, as we understand, is those are the people in this world who are yet to hear or yet to believe in the word of God, to yet receive the love of God and place their faith in him for salvation. That is the harvest. And Jesus says, that is plentiful. That is plentiful. Everywhere you look, everywhere you go, there is harvest abundantly. But what's needed, what's missing, is workers. The workers are few. So before they even, begin to go, Jesus says, pray. Pray to the Lord of the harvest, which is God. Pray to the Lord of the harvest that he will send workers. And then just as soon as Jesus finishes saying, pray for workers, he says, go. I don't know if they had time to pray, but if they had time to pray right then, they were the answer to their first prayer. Oh, Lord, send harvest, workers into the harvest field. And Jesus says, go, and they go. They were the answer to their own prayer, maybe. I am sending you. Again, we are sent. Now, I used to skip this next part in verse 3. I am sending you out like lambs among wolves. I used to skip that part. That sounds scary. I don't know what it means. I don't want to tell people that because no one's going to go if they're lambs sent out, among wolves. But if you take a look at other passages in the scripture, like the Gospel of John, chapter 10, where Jesus says, I am the good shepherd, and the good shepherd lays down his life for his sheep. Oh, okay, well, that changes things then. Yeah, I'm a sheep, I'm a lamb, but I'll go out among wolves and I won't be scared because I will go with my great shepherd. I will go with my great shepherd who lays his life down in protection of me. Now I'm not scared because I'm a lamb going out like in the midst of wolves. Now I am courageous. Now I am bold. Now I am strengthened and let's go because I go with my shepherd who is going to go before me and with me and behind me and take care of me. Verse 4 says, do not take a bag or sandals, a purse, and do not greet anyone on the road. I just think Jesus is saying, you don't need a lot of stuff. Just obey. You don't need a lot of things to go with you. You don't need a lot of information. You don't need a lot of resources. You don't need a lot of money. You don't need a lot of anything except a lot of faith in me, a lot of obedience from you. Go. Go. Don't talk to people along the road. I don't think Jesus is telling us to not be kind or friendly. He's speaking to the urgency of the matter. So this is like what I think is his preliminary instructions. And now he says, okay, now when you start going, here are some things to do. Again, I'm the kind of person that's always looking for the simple application. I don't want to make things complicated and bigger and more complex than they are. I'm looking for what? I'm looking for basic steps of obedience. When I look at the scripture, the word of God, I'm like, how do I obey this? In its simplest form, what's it telling me to do? How do I obey Jesus? And so I find, by the way I look at this passage, I find, if you will, four steps that a person can follow, a way we can kind of live our life in a way as we go and make disciples. So look with me first at verse 5. In verse 5, Jesus is instructing, he says, when you enter into a house, so once you get out there and you start going to every town and place, he says, when you enter a house, first, and that's, I guess that's what made me think there might be some steps here. First, second, third, fourth. First, say peace to this house. Say peace to this house. Well, what are we doing? Who are we saying peace to? We're speaking to God. When we're asking that peace be on this house, who are we asking? Who can give peace to this house? Only God can. So when we say peace to this house, what we are in fact doing is what we call pray. We are praying for this house. We're praying for these people. So I see this as a very obvious first step. First step, pray for people. As you're out and about, town to town, different places, when you live, wherever you go, in your workplace, in your school building, in your neighborhood, wherever you encounter people in the harvest field, be praying for them. Be praying for them, not in general sense, but also in very specifics. You say, well, how do I pray for a person specifically? I don't even really know them. I just see them at the grocery store, at the kiosk. I only see them on the U-Bahn every day when I go to work. I don't know much about them. Well, here's a way. Here's a way that we can pray for people, even if we don't know them at all. We can pray blessings by using this little acronym, BLESS. Pray for their body, their health, their physical well-being. Pray for their labor, their livelihood, their income, their jobs. In this context, I know people come through our cities so often, and employment, finding employment, is critical to their livelihood. So pray for their livelihood and their employment. E, pray for their emotions, how they feel. You know what it's like to be the new kid at school. You know what it's like to be brand new in a city that's in a country that is not your home country. You know the emotions you go through. So pray for their emotions, how they feel, how they think, and they cope with life. Pray for their social life, the S. Pray for their social life. You know what it's like, again, to be the new kid in town, and you desperately want relationships and friendships. So we pray for that. And of course, pray for their spiritual life. Even though we may not know where they're at with Christ, we can pray that, God, today would they be closer to you than they were yesterday. Things of this nature. So we pray blessings in their life. So Jesus says, first, pray for them. I would submit to you that a first step would be constantly praying for people that you encounter. Sometimes it's a quick encounter. Sometimes it's lengthy. Maybe you live in the same neighborhood with them and they're a neighbor of yours or a coworker or friend. So we go on from verse 5. First, say peace to this house, and if a man of peace is there, your peace will rest on him. If not, it will return to you. Then verse 7. Verse 7 says, stay. Stay in the house. Stay in that house. This is one of my favorite parts. Stay there, eating and drinking whatever they give you. Eating and drinking whatever they give you. Whatever they give you, for the worker deserves his wages, and do not move around from house to house. And so I see a step here. I see some instruction here. I see pray for them, and then secondly, stay with them. Stay with them. And as much as you can, stay in contact with this person. And as much as you can, develop a relationship with this person. Again, it may be a very brief relationship, a matter of minutes or an hour, if you're passing in transportation maybe, or maybe it's a much lengthier relationship. But spend time with them. Years ago, I came across an author that's talked about living in 3D, living three-dimensionally, if you will. So often our relationships, our acquaintances, and the people that we know is so shallow, kind of one-dimensional. And so this author really struck a chord with me. He said, live in 3D. Cool, let's live in 3D, beyond the surface. And so he described it this way. First, develop the first D is develop relationships, develop friendships. You probably, if you've been a Christian for very long, you have probably experienced this, whether you noticed it or not. When I first became a Christian, I only had a couple of Christian